Welcome to Beyond the Loss with your host, Aditi Leverage. Aditi is a certified coach and certified grief recovery specialist, mindfulness meditation teacher, writer, and founder of the Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support Center. Aditi's mission is to help people connect to a variety of healing options so they can heal in their own way on their own terms. And now here is your host, Aditi Leverage.
Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning back into Beyond the Loss. Today, we have Nina Medinova joining us. Nina is a German who's living in the Czech Republic. She's 29 years old with one living daughter born via emergency C-section in 2018. Nina recently had a loss in which she's going to share with us. Nina speaks five languages, and she has an MA in media and political communication, and her hobbies are languages, hence why she speaks so many, and skydiving. So thank you so much, Nina, for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I just really want to thank you for being so brave and courageous to share your story with our listeners, especially since it's been so recent. And yes, thank you. You are our furthest geographical guest. So we're honored to have you here.
Wow. Yeah, I'm honored to be here on this podcast. I don't even know how this happened, but I'm super happy to be here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So if you don't mind sharing with our listeners your story of your loss.
Yeah, I don't really know how to begin the story. What basically happened was that I was weaning my daughter. Her name is Elena, so I might refer to her by that name from now on. I was weaning her from breastfeeding and got pregnant immediately without even a period in between. And well, at first I was not super happy about it, to be honest, because I thought I will have a little bit of time just for myself without having to share my body with any baby. I very fast also realized that I do, of course, want this baby and do, of course, I'm of course, looking forward, to having a second child. And since I never experienced a loss, I never really before thought that that would happen to me. It only happens to other people, right? That's at least how I felt. So I went quite positively into it, thinking, yeah, you know, in December or January, I will have a second baby, and started like thinking of everything this way, like making plans that way, or canceling in my head some, you know, plans for Christmas or all those things. And my doctor took some HCG blood tests. It wasn't rising as it should, but it was rising. And on the first ultrasound, it didn't look really well. As also, like there was some hematoma in there. It wasn't really clear. What the doctor didn't even know what she was really seeing. But one ultrasound later, 1 week later, we saw a little embryo with a beating heart. And from that point on, I was so convinced everything will be fine. So 3 weeks later, I started like lightly bleeding, and I went to the hospital and just to get checked, just to know that everything is okay. And the doctor was, you know, here in Czech Republic, they're very straightforward, very rude a little bit actually. And he said, "Why did you come here? Why are you here? I cannot help you anyways. No, like no matter what the result is, I can't help you." And she said, but she will check. And she had a look and she said that the heart is beating, everything's fine, bleeding can happen during pregnancy, so go home, you know, rest, and it will be fine.
And how far along were you at that at this point?
I was 9.9 plus 1, so week 10. And so I went back home and was really relieved that I saw the baby. And I actually took a picture of the screen, which right now I'm so grateful that I took that picture. Because on that picture, you can already see like that it looks like a small child, you know, and it's really, really special and dear to me to have the picture. And the next day it only got worse, the bleeding. I don't know if I can be really explicit about things or not here.
Yes, please do.
So it was like not just blood, it was also starting to be like pieces, and I started also like having more like cramps, and I wondered if this is still fine. And I, at some point, I had this, you know, this knowledge in my head that I just knew that, you know, this is not gonna end well. I knew that I will probably miscarry. And I also wrote that to my husband, who wasn't even there at that moment. And he came home, and I tried to put my daughter to sleep. It was in the evening. And yeah, at that point, the pain was, you know, really going up a notch so badly that I couldn't even lie next to my daughter anymore. And I went to the bathroom, and I just really didn't even know where to, you know, what to do. Like, the pain was something I've never really experienced, because I've never had a vaginal birth. I never had contractions, and I wanted to crawl up the walls. I didn't know what to do with myself. And I remembered that a friend of mine told me that during birth, going to the bathtub helped her. So I went to the bathtub. That actually helped a little bit. And it was also a really good idea in that sense that when the baby came out in the amniotic sac, I could just, you know, catch it in the water, and I could see the baby inside the amniotic sac. And I'm so happy that I could actually hold my baby in my hand. It didn't fall into some toilet or something, and I could see it, you know. I was, yeah, the baby was quite small. It was like maybe one centimeter, 1.7 centimeters. I know that you probably think in inches, right? I don't really, maybe one.
Oh, don't set. Yeah, Canadians, we do centimeters.
Oh, great. Yeah, so 1.7 centimeters. And it looked like a tiny human. It had tiny, tiny arms, tiny, tiny legs, even little spots for eyes. And I think the worst part about it all is that I had this really big urge that I wanted to hold the baby, like really hold it, not just the amniotic sac. And I didn't know that when they're so small, the body is very, very fragile. It doesn't really withstand anything. So I opened the sac, and the baby just vanished inside the water. And yeah, I think that's maybe the worst part for me, because it was my biggest wish that I didn't want to lose. I wanted to see and hold the baby, and then I kind of, you know, quote unquote, destroyed the baby, which was really, really hard and horrible for me until today.
Yes, I can imagine. But that's the thing with like natural miscarriages, is that people don't talk about it. So how would you know anything different?
I know. I didn't know any better. And it's like, it's the one thing that, even though it still makes me emotional, because I didn't want that to happen, for sure. Yeah. And I felt so sorry for the baby, because, you know, nobody deserves to go down the drain. And I felt really bad about it.
Yeah, I can relate, as I was sharing before we recorded that, but I had a similar experience. Well, very similar experience with my second loss. I naturally miscarried at home, and I didn't think to get into the tub. I was on the toilet. And so when I birthed my baby went into the toilet, and I remember I flushed the toilet, and that still haunts me to this day. But at the time, I didn't know anything different, because the doctors didn't tell me what to expect, and no friends of mine talked about it. Even if they did naturally miscarry, nobody actually told me that it was a labor and that it was a birth, and what to prepare myself with.
Yeah. You know, I Googled before. I actually, once I had this big feeling inside of myself that I will miscarry, I actually Googled. But, you know, the stories that I saw or read about, maybe the baby was a bit bigger, like not big, but like maybe a few weeks older, maybe 2 weeks older, and they could already hold the baby. And I saw these beautiful pictures of a woman holding her tiny, tiny baby, like with some flowers around. It was beautiful. And I was like, I want the same. You know, I want to, oh my God, I'm getting emotional.
Yeah, that's okay. All emotions are welcome here.
Yeah, and I just thought, I want the same for my baby. And that's why I had this thought that I want to open the amniotic sac. And it was a mistake, you know, I didn't know better. Yeah.
Yes. And I think we have to forgive ourselves for that, because ultimately it's not our fault. The fact that, you know, you had to Google, I mean, I'm happy that you found some resources on Google, but the fact that you had to Google, and I too was Googling, I didn't find anything about natural miscarriage when I Googled, the fact that we were left to Google just speaks to how unprepared we, like parents like us, are, and how it's just not talked about, and how unfair that is, because it could be such a different experience if we prepared birthing people through loss like we do birthing people through like a birth of a live child.
Yes, I actually have to say that before I gave birth to my daughter, I did a hypnobirthing course, which I never got to use. You know, I never actually had that birthing experience, but I think that helped me a lot in that moment when I was actually miscarrying the second baby, because I knew how to breathe, and I knew, you know, that there's nothing, you know, that my body is doing this, and I'm working together with my body. I have anyways no other choice. And so, yeah, in a way, like the birthing part was something I was actually, you know, kind of prepared for in that way, but not like, how do you deal with a tiny, tiny baby? What can you do? What can you not do? If I would have known, I would have left the amniotic sac intact. I might have buried it in the amniotic sac. I don't know what I would have done, but now I never even had the choice, you know. And I wish there would be that information out there. Like, listen, like, if you can give birth naturally at home, do it in the bathtub so you can catch the baby, which was actually a good idea in my case. Don't open the sac, like, leave the baby intact. I wish someone would have told me that. Yeah,
and I'm so grateful that you're saying it here, because for some of our listeners, we don't know where some of our listeners are at on their own journeys, and so hopefully that can help somebody to maybe have their experience be a little bit different.
Even though I totally understand and respect anybody who doesn't want to, who doesn't want to hold or see that tiny little baby. Maybe, you know, for some people, it's not a positive thing to. For me, it was really the right way to go. And I didn't have a choice. You know, it's not like, you know, I know so many people who had a missed abortion, and then they had to wait. And then, you know, I don't know how you call it in English, like have a DNC or not, you know. So I never even had that choice. It just happened. And in a way, I'm really glad that I never, you know, had to choose. It just happened to me. And I'm really, and that's something that I wanted to talk about also, really kind of, grateful for my body that he managed it all, like that my body managed it all alone, without any medical help or anything, you know.
Yes, yeah, I can so relate to that testament. I've shared that, I think, on this podcast and other podcasts I've been a guest on, is that it felt so strange for me, but after being able to miscarry naturally, I felt empowered in my body. Yes. Even though it wasn't a live baby that I birthed, I still felt very proud of my body that it knew what to do.
Yes, exactly. I've felt exactly the same. Yeah.
And yeah. And I've actually never spoken to anybody else who's had that experience. So thank you for sharing that.
You know, maybe also that's something that people are afraid to say, because they don't want to say that there was something that they found positive in the experience, you know, because it might sound weird to some people. Like, I'm afraid to tell this to people who haven't gone through the same experience, to be honest, because they would, I would feel that I might get judged for it, you know. Right. So I'm really happy to hear that you also felt the same. And I'm sure that there are many, many, many other people out there who can also find something empowering in that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very empowering experience. But yes, I agree, right? I mean, each loss experience is unique, and the emotions that come with it are very unique to each person. So yeah, some people might not feel like you and I, but it's really cool that I had no idea that there's this person in, you know, across the world from me who shared that experience and shared that empowerment from, because it is such a devastating, it was one of the most devastating experiences of my life. And yet I felt empowered, and even that felt conflicting for me. So I don't know if that was like your, how you felt as well. Like, there was that conflict of how do I feel empowered, even though there's I've just experienced this really profound loss.
Yeah. I think in that moment, there was no space for being sad. That's how I felt. Like it was all happening to me. And I was just going through that, you know, tiny birth. I always call it like a tiny birth, you know. And then suddenly I was holding the baby and I wasn't thinking like anything negative or sad in that moment. I was just like so grateful in that moment. When I held the baby, there was just, yeah, I was just grateful because I could see that baby and hold it. And all the sadness and everything came afterwards. In that moment when I was actually miscarrying, I was just feeling it all and not really being, I wasn't sad in that moment. I was, yeah.
Yeah, you were just being present with your child, with the birth of your child.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And you say here that you reference the child as a boy, as a him.
Yeah, I was so sure that it would have been a boy. Of course, he was way too small for us to know. But I had this really deep, profound feeling that this would have been a boy, definitely. Mm. Yeah.
And did you name him?
Yeah, it's been a process. I don't know if what you've been, you know, I actually got a series of meditations from a friend who's a psychologist and specializes in miscarriage, actually. And those meditations bring you kind of to that understanding what that little child could have been and who that child is, and meeting your child in a safe space. And so this is also something I wanted to share, that like, you know, to accept help for it if you want, and to really try to feel everything and go through that grief, and it really helped me so much, because in those meditations I met my child. I know in my mind, I feel like I know what he would have looked like, I know what he would have been like, and I'm kind of at a very peaceful place about it, that I know he has a place in my life even though he isn't here. And yeah, I really, really recommend this to anyone. I don't know. I hope there's something in English out there for the. There must be.
Yes, yes. I actually am a mindfulness meditation teacher, and meditation for me was one of the most powerful tools. It was actually what helped me to release my baby. I did a lot of meditation. I actually waited 5 weeks before my body let go of that pregnancy and baby. And so within that 5 weeks, I was doing a lot of meditation. And I remember the night before my body let go, I did a really powerful meditation. My heart and my mind and my spirit had all caught up, and we knew that it was time to let go. And the very next day was when I miscarried at home. And so meditation.
It's actually really beautiful.
You
had the time to let go of your baby before your body physically let go of your baby. That's actually really beautiful.
Yeah. And it took, and I always wondered, why did it take so long? 5 weeks. 5 weeks is a really long time to walk around with both life and death, you know, inside of you. And so I always wondered why it took so long, but that was because my heart was not ready before that.
You didn't want to let go yet.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, yeah, I agree. So with my coaching and the charity that I run, we focus a lot on meditation and mindfulness practices, because you're absolutely right. I think mindfulness is super important. Meditation is such a powerful tool, before, during, after, the experience. And I would like to hear a little bit more about the, how your experience was, because you said you had an emergency C-section with your living daughter. And so you had taken the hypnobirthing class in preparation for her, but you didn't get the opportunity to actually utilize it. So can you tell me a little bit about how you used that with the birth of your, with this tiny birth of your baby boy?
Well, you know, You mean how I used the hypnobirthing techniques, or what do you?
Yeah, like how did you use that? Because I think a lot of people listening who've never maybe experienced a natural miscarriage might wonder, well, how did you use that? Like, why did you feel called to use the hypnobirthing in this experience?
Right. Yeah, to be honest, I also didn't, of course, I didn't know what it means to miscarry. You know, maybe I thought in the beginning that if you miscarry so early on, which is in week 10, it will just be like a period. And I wasn't not aware that it would be really like a small birth. I wasn't aware of that before. And it is, I mean, I have no comparison to a real 40-week baby birth, but it was quite intense. It was short, for sure. You cannot compare it to a 20, 26, 27, whatever hour birth, but it's a tiny, small version of it where you really go through contractions. You have to listen to your body. You have to go with your body, whatever it's doing. You have to focus on the contractions. If you don't focus, it's much worse. It's much more painful. So I knew that, yeah. And that knowledge helped me. Knowing that I need to focus, I need to breathe. I have to relax my body. I have to breathe with the contraction. I knew the movements, like how to move, maybe what could help. I didn't know what really helps me, but I was trying out all the things that we learned during the hypnobirthing course and found a lot of things that actually worked a little bit for me.
Yeah, which I think is so amazing that you were able to utilize that tool. Because again, right, hypnobirthing doesn't only necessarily apply to a live full-term birth.
It can be utilized for a C-section. It's all about empowerment and that you are in charge and you're the one making the choice. And there can be also so much empowerment in C-sections, you know, if you are the one who decides, if you're not being bullied into any decision.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I imagine then that it could also be utilized in preparation for going in for a DNC for those folks who made that choice.
I actually had a DNC afterwards because there was still some remaining tissue. So I've seen both worlds. Yeah, but the DNC was like a non-event for me because the baby was already out. I knew that it's not there anymore. And they just took out all the remaining parts of the, I don't know, of the pregnancy. Yeah. But I really felt so much empowerment in experiencing this tiny version of birth. And I'm so grateful for it. And maybe, this is, of course, a lot of, you know, speculation, but I feel that maybe this baby came here to give me that experience also, you know, that experience of birth that I maybe otherwise will never have.
Oh, like a vaginal birth, the experience of a vaginal birth.
Yes, because because of an autoimmune disease that I have, I will always have pregnancy cholestasis. I don't know if you know it. So it will always, very probably always lead to early induction and or a C-section. So I'm really, in a way, very grateful that I got this one tiny glimpse of vaginal birth.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah. But I got to this place over time, right? It took me some time to get to this conclusion and feeling and really feel like at peace with this. In a way, but I'm very grateful that, and that's also the power of meditation, that this journey of meditations of several weeks I was actually going through this, I got to this place. And I hope that everyone that experiences a loss can find something in it that they can, you know, take away from it, some positive change maybe inside themselves, maybe. You know, it doesn't, and of course, the loss is always going to be sad and horrible and unfair and everything. But I'm sure that even the tiniest thing can be found, maybe, that can be positive.
Yeah, yes. Yes, I think that both joy and grief can exist simultaneously. It doesn't mean that we need to, I don't believe that everything happens for a reason or so.
I also don't believe that.
Yeah, I do believe that just shitty things happen sometimes. But yes, I think that it's important that we acknowledge that from loss, we can gain some things too.
Yeah, definitely. It changes us forever, doesn't it?
It does. Absolutely, it does. Yes. So thank you so much for sharing that. Like I said, I just have goosebumps like up and down my body because I've literally never met anybody who kind of shared a similar experience. And even when I read your story before we got on and how you said, like, I birthed a tiny little human. I've always said that. I always said I had like a mini labor and a mini birth. And I've never heard anybody else speak in that way. And so it just brings me such comfort to know that even though you're like a half a world away from me, it really goes to show that we are never truly alone in our experiences. And the more we talk about it, the more we actually learn how many other people out there are like us.
Yes. And it is birth, no matter how tiny, no matter, you know, it is birth, and it shouldn't be anything to be ashamed about. You know, you can all talk about it as openly as other people talk about, if we want to, as other people talk about the birth of their full-term living baby.
Yeah. Oh, that's so powerful. So powerful. So his little life, his little body is doing, I mean, you were carrying it so powerfully through and in sharing the story and sharing the truth of your experience. And I really admire you for that.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the space to share my story. I'm really grateful to be here.
Oh, thank you. Before I let you go and we complete our episode for today, I ask every guest that comes on one thing. If you knew then what you know now, what would that be? Something that would help you to have known.
I think the main thing, as I said earlier, is I wish I would have known, that it will be like a real little tiny birth, and B, I wish I would have also known before that I will grow from it and that I will be fine in the end, because there have been definitely also dark moments. So, yeah, I wish I could also tell that to everyone out there, like, you will manage to be okay, not the same, you will change from it, probably it will change you forever, but you will be okay in the end, hopefully. And I think talking about it also shows how many people around us actually have gone through something similar, because the more I talk about it, the more I also hear similar experiences.
Yes. So I love that. Talk about it, and you're going to be different, but you're going to be okay. I love that. Thank you so much, Nina, for coming on, for joining us, for sharing truthfully this experience. I think that this the experience of natural miscarriage and the reality of how it is a birth isn't talked about enough. And I think that takes a lot of bravery and courage to show up and start speaking about this. I hope that we have reached people out there that need to hear this. And I just really honor you and thank you so much for sharing this experience and the birth of your boy with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for tuning in again to Beyond the Loss. And we look forward to chatting more next time.
Aditi has personally navigated the complex journey after pregnancy and infant loss. Through both her personal and professional journey, she found that there were more supports needed to holistically serve the loss community in Calgary. To fill this gap, Aditi founded Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support Center. If you would like to find out more about the Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support Center, please go to www.pregnancyinfantlosssupportcenter.com. Thank you for listening. For more episodes, please visit www.getyouvisible.com/podcast.